Today's daf, Masechet Nazir, is daf Yud Chet. And we've been involved in some very, very fascinating and complex sugyas. And we have gotten to the point where we understand that there are different types of Naziris, different phases of Naziris, and also different dinim, legabe, the beginning of a Naziris, in that there is two different general types of Naziris called Naziris Tuma and Naziris Tahara. We started off with these machlokas in which we thought between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We polished them up a bit and in the end discovered that we could not support Reish Lakish's approach. And therefore, if a person is mekabel Naziris in a Beit HaKvarot, he definitely does become a Nazir. He definitely is chayev for anything that he does, whether it's in terms of cutting his hair or whether it's in terms of drinking wine. And even if it's in terms of tumah, where he's already tameh, he would still be chayev malkus. However, there's only one issue that we said is fundamentally different between a nazir who is called a nazir tameh currently because he became tameh, or a Nazir who is a Nazir Tome because he never began a Naziris Tahara. And that, the Mishnah explained to us, is the question of whether he actually will ever be chayev to bring a Korban Tumah. He will not be chayev to bring a Korban Tumah, even in the event that he's exposed to the type of Tumah that would be soter his Nazirut. That's what we came out, was the halacha in that particular question. But then, yesterday, Rav Ashi raised the issue of what the din is in terms of a tiglachat. Because we've sort of been taking it to a stuff of pashut that if the Mishnah said that there's no din of a korban tumah in the case of someone who was nozer while he was in the Beit HaKvarot, that the halacha would probably be that you wouldn't even need a tiglachat. And we understood that there was this machlokas about when the Naziris actually resumed. We said that the Naziris of a Nazir Tameh who was always Tameh in the Beit HaKvarot, it resumes on the seventh day. But as Rav Ashi points out, that doesn't prove anything really, because the Naziris anyway, the Tiglachas of a Naziris Tumah, is anyway on the seventh day. His Korbanos are not brought until the eighth day. So even though the Braita said that you could start counting again on the seventh day, that didn't do it for us. And we weren't quite certain that when the Mishnah was talking about that you're not chayav to bring a korban tumah, that it didn't mean to include the korban tumah and everything that's associated with that entire ceremony, which means the actual tiglachas as well. So we didn't quite have 100% indication yesterday about what the din is legabe bringing a tiglachas, doing a tiglachas tumah, even though you're not bringing a korban tumah. So we got up today to a braisa that we wanted to use to actually prove what the din is in terms of Rav Ashi's question. Do we do a tiglachas tumah on a nazir who was nazir while he was in the Beit HaKvarot, even though we do not do a korban tumah? Or are the two dinim interrelated? And if there's no korban tumah, then there's no tiglachas of tumah. So let's take a look today, says the Gemara, Tashma. Look at the braisa that seems to actually make it very clear to us. Now, before we begin this braisa, I would like you to look at the lashon of the two psukim, which are part of the description of the seder of the Taira of the Nazir, and you will see that we've got some rather serious indications in the pasuk itself, if we read it, as to what the situation would be in terms of the tiglachas. So let's take a look at the opening pasuk. V'chi yamut meit alav bepeta piton. If someone dies on this nazir suddenly, and therefore timei rosh nizro, v'gilach rosho biyom taharato, so then on the day that he becomes tahar, meaning after he does the hazoya on the seventh day from the pora aduma, he then should be megalech et rosho by yom hashivi yigalcheno. It's on that seventh day that he should do the giluach. So first of all, let's just see what the simple meaning is of the pasuk. Because, I mean, what the pasuk is saying is that it's only where he was a Nazir, who was Tahar, and someone suddenly drops dead on him, and he now finds himself being Tamei, right? I mean, Peta Pitom. So it's not talking about a Nazir who was Mekabel and Naziris in a Beit HaKvarot. So, I mean, the whole Pasuk basically introduces itself by speaking about a Nazir Tahar who then became Tamei. Now, the next thing that we had that we wanted to look at, because we know that we analyze these words, is Timei Rosh Nizro. Timei Rosh Nizro, we always said that means he's a Nazir head. A Nazir head means that he's developed a head of hair as a Nazir. I mean, what exactly is the Torah adding by saying that, since it already said that a mace died on him suddenly? So, I mean, obviously he was a Nazir before. That's one thing to think about. Continues the Pasuk, Uvayom HaShmini, so now it's the next day. It's the eighth day, and now he has to bring a Kain, either Shtei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yona. He brings this to the Kohen, to the Pesach HaMoed, and then comes the other crucial Pasuk. Okay, so the Kohen brings his korbanos, one for a chatas, one for an ola. It doesn't say anything about the other korban, which somehow or other we managed to put off until after this, which is the keves, which we're going to talk about what we do with that, but somehow or other, all that we know right now is that there's an echad l'chatas ve'echad l'oila, and we don't seem to bother about the korban osham that we find out about separately. So, again, listen to what it says. The kohen should bring echad l'chatas ve'echad l'oila. In doing so, he's b'chaper alav, and then the pasuk concludes v'kidash et rosho b'yom ahu. And then he starts his new nazir head on that day. Now, that is pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, the Torah is saying that he's only able to start his new Naziris on that day. That's the eighth day. It's at Beferish, by Yom HaShmini. Uva Yom HaShmini, Avishtei Torim Ushnei V'nei Yona. So something is, like, very strange that the Gemara doesn't seem to know what these psukim are openly telling us. And Rav Ashi wants to know, would there be a din of Tiglachas, even though he never had a Rosh Nizro? All these questions seem to be defined on their own in the Gemara. So we need to figure out, what is it that you don't understand about this? And the Braita now examines this psuk, the series of psukim, in detail to see what it is that we've missed when we read the pasuk. So Tashma, Fitimei Rosh Nizro. Now, we pointed out as we read the pasuk that Fitimei Rosh Nizro is completely superfluous, because obviously he was Timei Rosh Nizro if Yamut Meit Alav Bepeta Pitom, if this guy has been calmly keeping his Naziris for the past few weeks and then suddenly somebody dies. I mean, so then, of course, he was Timei Rosh Nizro, ipso facto. I mean, why are we mentioning it? So therefore, says the Tabraita, this teaches us that the Pasuk is referring to a Nazir who was Tahar. He was not a Nazir Tamei, who was Mekabel as Naziris in the Beit HaKvarot, and he became Tamei, Nazir Shenitma, HaKatuv Midaber, and that Nazir, he's the one that requires a Giluach, HaAvarat Seyar, and he's the one that requires Hava'at Siporim in the bringing of a Korban, but a Nazir Bakever, meaning a Nazir who was Mekabel as Naziris in the Beit HaKvarot, does not need... Now dig this. Does not need Havarat Seyar. Oh, there seems to be your answer. When Rav Ashi was saying, well, I knew we don't need a korban, but do you need a haircut? And here it says no. He does not need Havarat Seyar or Hava'at Sipori, neither of them. So apparently we're being told, Beferish, if you were Mekabel Naziris and you were in the Beit HaKvarot, you are not going to get a haircut. And there is no din of the tiglacha. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is the point of needing this word as Rosh Nizro, since it's clearly was talking about a Nazir who was Tamei? So Tosis explains, because the Braita is obviously taken for granted that you might have thought that it's true that the Pasuk is referring to a case where he was a Nazir Tahar, but does that automatically exclude the case where he was Tameh? Couldn't it be that even if he had been Tameh, he still would require this process? Kamash Bolam, that the Pasuk wants to tell us, absolutely not. If there is no Rosh Nizro, there is no Tiglachat, and there is no Karban. So that way we couldn't think that we should extend it Mitzad Hasvara. Because the truth is, if I didn't have this Pasuk, I would have thought that we should extend it to include a Nazir Bebeit HaKfaros, and we should say, well, it's even a Kal Vachomer. I mean, if a Nazir who was Tahar and was doing everything right, and he became Tamei, Ma Tahar Shnitma, he does require a haircut, and he does require Hava'at Tziporim, even though he started off okay, and he's got a little bit of an investment over here towards his Nazirot. So Kol Shekein, if he never had a good head of hair to begin with, in the sense of the Naziris, it was a bloody hair because it was not kosher in the first place. He was in the Beit HaKvarot. Okay, so then Misha Yatameh Mitchilah, for sure, he should have to get a clean slate. How do you get a clean slate? I mean, if at least you had a clean slate and you were once Tahar, and even so you need to re-clean your slate, Kol Shekein, where somebody starts off with a rotten slate, Shol Mishayata Mimitrila, wouldn't it be reasonable to say that for sure he requires Avarat Seyar, and he needs to start with a clean head of hair and being a nice Nazir head? And that's what you would have thought. Therefore, the Pasuk comes along and says, don't believe it for a minute. V'timei Rosh Nizro. And that means that the Pasuk is saying, note, I'm telling you that we're only talking about someone who had a Rosh Nizro. Is he have a Nazir head? Only that person requires Avarat Seyar V'Avaat Soporin, but a Nozer Bekever, meaning a Nozer who was Nozer Bebeit HaKvarot, is definitely Potter both from Tiglachat and from the Korbanos. And that is absolutely conclusive, Rav Ashi. No more questions. Shema Amina. So the Braita is clearly saying there is no din of either. So that when our Mishnah spoke about that he will not be chayev eno mevi korban tuma, it means nothing about the seder of the korban tuma, including the tiglachas. None of it is brought by him. Now, we had this braisa that we've spoken about numerous times, and it's sort of become our motto over here over the past couple of days. But does it reflect everyone's shita? So remember, the braisa went like this. Mantanah de Tanarabban. Ein bein tameish nazar la nazir tahar shenitma. This was our favorite braisa when we were trying to bring out the relationship between the two different types of a nazir tameh. One who started out tahar and became tameh, and the other who was nozer while he was already in the Beit HaKvarot, and he was Tameh from the beginning. So this braisa says, don't believe that there's any difference between the two of them. There's no difference between the two in terms of any of the halachas we end up understanding. You're going to be chayav malchus if you do further tuma, and if you drink any wine, and if you cut any hair. It's as if you were a regular netter, nazir. The only difference is that a Tameh shenazar in the Beit HaKvarot, he can starts, because he never had started. So he starts his Naziris and the moment that he becomes Tahar on the seventh day. So he did his Hazoya Shlishi Vishvif with his Parah Aduma, went to the mikveh, and at that moment, it's Oilola Min Aminyan. If he's got any time left on the seventh day, that's his first day of his Naziris. Masha Einkein, if he had been Tahar before, and then he became Tameh, he cannot count the seventh day towards his new Naziris. Why? Well, because he still needs his eighth day of Hava'at Korbanot, right? So, I mean, how can he restart before he gets to that day? Now, that's taking a big assumption. The assumption is that you cannot begin your new Naziris until the Kohen finishes doing the Tahira. But, I mean, it was a very reasonable assumption because, as we saw when we read the Pasuk, it said that the Kohen should be Mechaper Alav Masher Chatala Nefesh, and then Vikidash at Rosh Nizro. which means that then he begins again. So, okay, this makes a heck of a lot of sense. Is it actually dependent on a shita that we're saying man tana adatan rabbanan? It seems to be just the result of the pasuk. No, Rav Chisda, no. Actually, this brayta only works out according to Rebbe. And we're going to see what that machlokas is of Rebbe in a moment. But first, we're just going to talk about what they say, not why they say it. That since Rebbe said that a new Nazirus of Tahara does not begin until the eighth day, if he was a Nazir who became Tameh, as opposed to starting his Nazirus in the Beit HaKvarot, it's going according to him, and that's why it says that there's a big difference between a Nazir who starts off as a Nazir Tameh and a Nazir who became a Nazir Tameh, because indeed, according to Rebbe, the Nazir who was initially Tahar cannot restart his Nazirus until day eight. And in the other case where there is no carbon, so there's no reason to wait till day eight. So as soon as you become Tahar on day seven, you also are already able to start your new Nazirut. Why do I say it's only Rebbe? Because you see, if you would be going like Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, as we're about to see the machlokas soon between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, but Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda says that even if the Nazir was a Nazir who started off as Tahar, and even though the Pasuk says otherwise, wow, it's wild, the Pasuk says that V'chiper alav HaKohen and so on, and then V'kidash et Rosh Nizro. Nope, doesn't mean that, okay? It means that you can actually start counting even a Nazirus that had needed to bring your Korbanos. You can still begin the count of your new Nazirus on the seventh day. And the Braita says, no, you can't. That's the difference between a Nazir who started off in a Beit HaKvarot and a Nazir who started as being Tahar. That's the difference. Do you restart on day seven or do you restart on day eight? Now, I can't imagine how Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda reads the Pasuk, but for heaven's sakes, that's what he says. He says that any Nazir, even if he was Tahar in the beginning, he restarts on the seventh day before the carbonites were brought. Wow, that is wild. So now let's take a look at the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and that way we could zero in on why we're saying that this brayta would only make sense according to Rebbe. So where is the machlokas? I'll tell you. Machlokas is in a brayta. The brayta goes like this. I read the pasuk, and the brayta is reading the pasuk. V'kidash et rosho b'yom ahu. It's very clear, right? V'kriv ha-kohen echad l'chatat, v'echad l'ola, v'chiper alav mechata ala nefesh, me'asher chata ala nefesh, and then v'kidash et rosho b'yom ahu. Okay, I know how to read. You know how to read. It says, after the kohen brought these korbanos, which it said beferish in the previous pasuk was bayom hashmini yavi, so he could only bring these korbanos on the eighth day, and it says that only then kidash et rosho bayom ahu. So I don't understand. I mean, I don't know how anybody could argue on that. And therefore, Rebbe says, well, you know how to read. It says bayom hava ad korbanotav. It says bayom ahu, which means that on that day, on that eighth day, on the day that you're supposed to be bringing your korbanot, that is the day that you restart your Nazirut. Now, hidden between the lines over here, however, in Rebbe's statement, is that even though it sounds in the Pasuk as if the Kohen is going to bring these Korbanos, and then V'chiper alav HaKohen, and then V'kidash et Nizro, at Rosh Nizro, Rebbe says, well, hold on a minute. It says Bayom Ahu. Why does it say Bayom Ahu? If the Pasuk is talking about bringing the Korbanot and only then restarting, why did it need to say Bayom Ahu? I mean, how could it be on a different day than the day we're talking about? Therefore, what Rebbe is actually saying is a big chiddush. When the Torah adds the words Bayom Ahu, what it's saying is that the moment the eighth day arrives, you can restart. But I didn't bring my Korbanos yet. And the Pasuk says, V'chiper alav HaKohen. Well, that's why it says Bayom Ahu. That we would like you to get the kapara of the kohen, but even if the kohen did not bring that kapara yet, if it's bayom ahu, the day that you could be bringing that kapara, that's the day that you already start the recount. Okay, so there's two very important points, therefore, that Rebbe is learning. He's learning that it cannot be on the seventh day, which is what Rabbi Yosef Rabbeuda inexplicably claims. And he's also teaching us that you shouldn't take the Pasuk Kipshutei. The Pasuk is offering you an alternative. It's only, not only, as it sounded, if Chiper Alav HaKohen, but even if not Chiper Alav HaKohen, by Yom Ahu, you restart whether you brought your Korbanot or you didn't bring your Korbanot. Okay, now that makes a great deal of sense. I can see that additional limud from the Bayom Ahu. It's very striking. But how does Rabbi Yosef Rabbeuda claim that it's the seventh day? That's really wild. I mean, the Pasuk said Beferish, Vaya Bayom HaShmini, he should be maybe either the Torim or the two Bnei Yonah, and then V'chiper Alav HaKohen. How did you get to the eighth to the seventh day? Rabbi Yosef Rabbeuda says, when it says Bayom Ahu, it does not mean the day of the Karbonas. Incredibly, it means the day of the Tiglachat, which was yesterday. Whoa. Okay? We're going to have to figure out why he would say something like that. And we're going to be getting back to the logic of Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi in a minute. But before we do, we need to also recognize that even though we just showed that our favorite Brisa about Ein Bein Nazir and so on and so forth, that Brisa indeed is Rebbe. But I can show you that we have a Mishnah in Krisus that is Bedafka, not like Rebbe, and it's only going according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbeuda, which is surprising. Take a look at the Mishnah. V'had it's not. Now, before we explain this Mishnah, we need to know a Yisod. And this Yisod requires a writing down by Mr. Gavi. And that is the concept of Bisha'a Shiru'uya Lahavi Korbanotav. What does that mean? So supposing a person has multiple tumas. Would he bring a separate korban for every one of the tumas that he was mitameh as a nazir? Or do we say, well, no, basically, he was tameh. I don't care how many times he became tameh, but there's one ceremony to complete that tuma, and that's it. I don't care if he was tameh 100 times. He's going to bring one set of korbanos, right? And that's clear. Well, of course. Why would every tuma be mechayev him? This is not a kapara on the fact of being of having made himself tameh. It's just the modality by which he becomes tar. But now we get into an interesting question. This is a question that we've entertained about the chiyuv of a zov or a zova to bring a separate set of korbanos if they became tameh again. The rule is that if there was a tyra, and then he becomes tummy again, or she becomes tummy again, or in this case, another becomes tummy again. Once the tyra takes place, so then this is a new tumah. So now the question is, if it's a new tumah, do you have to do a whole new set of korbanos for this new tumah? So this would depend, bepashtus, on whether you have restarted. So if you've restarted, there's two issues that are going to be involved. If you haven't restarted your Naziris, so obviously it's just the same old Naziris with multiple tumas. That's one set of korbanos. But suppose you restarted the Naziris, but you still haven't even gotten into the space where you could have brought a korban. How's that possible? Very simple. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbeuda, you restarted your Naziris on the seventh day. You weren't even able to bring your korbanos if you wanted to. It's only the seventh day. You start your korbanos, you start your naziris with your brand new head of hair, all tahor and clean, and everything's great. I don't believe it. This guy drops dead again in the room. How many times can you drop dead? Anyway, so this nazir now becomes tameh again on the seventh day. Oh, man. So what happens now? Does he need another set of korbanos because this happened to him twice? No. Why not? Because there never was even the theoretical possibility of bringing a korban. And he had not as yet entered into the time in which it's roi lavi korbanotav. Therefore, it's all included in one set of korbanos that only subsequent to these multiple tumas are they going to be able to be brought anyway? So who cares how many times he became tameh, right? So then that means there's two issues that need to be taken into consideration. Are you still in the middle of your naziris? Well, then obviously we're not even going to discuss that. You're only going to bring one carbon for multiple tumas. Have you restarted your naziris? Oh, then maybe you do have to bring separate carbonas. What will define that? What will define that is whether it was time to bring a carbon or not. Were you already in that time? So then now you should bring another carbon. Maybe. Now, there may be alternatives to this. What would the alternatives be? Maybe it's only going to be mechayev you a new carbon if you actually brought the carbon. Not that you could have brought the carbon. Maybe you needed to actually have become tohar based on your carbonas. Then and only then would you be chayev another set of carbonas. Maybe. Maybe it's not a theoretical possibility. Therefore, let us take a look at the Mishnah in Kritut and try to figure out whether it would be going like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda or whether it would be going like Rabbi. Nazir shenitma tumot harbe. A nazir who became tame many times. Eino mevi ela korban echad. He would only bring one carbon. So what is it referring to? Mantana. Who would be the author of such a Mishnah that there was a Chiddush that's involved in this, that he brings one carbon for multiple tumas? Says Rav Chisda, it only works out according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, who says that the Naziris of the Tahara begins on the seventh day. And since it begins on the seventh day, suppose he started on his seventh day, became tummy again on the seventh day, goes again on the third day and the seventh day, becomes tar with the Parah Aduma, again restarts his Naziris after his haircut, again the same guy drops dead the third time, and now he becomes tummy a third time, and again he waits 7 days, and this happens all the time. So, you know, they used to bury people with like big blocks in their mouth that couldn't come back to life again. You know, they believed that they would be rejuvenated. They should have tried that out on some guy that left us a lot of problems. But anyway, so this case where he multiply became tamei on the seventh day and then on the next seventh day and then the next seventh day, he never had a moment where he could have brought carbonas because he never made it to the eighth day. And he also was a separate Nazir, again and again and again, because according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, his Naziris began again on the seventh day. Says Rav Chisda, there you go. That explains the Mishnah. It's possible for him to be a new Nazir, and therefore for this to be a new Tumah, as opposed to a continuous Tumah of an old Nazir. And nonetheless, he's going to bring one carbon at the end of 100 different starts of his Naziris, because he never yet began the eighth day, but he did begin his Naziris on the seventh day. So it could only be, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudahi, the Omer Nazirut Tahara is at the seventh day. And therefore, it would be a simple case. Mashkach Hasla, the case in the Mishnah, is clearly talking about where he became Tamei after he started his new Naziris on the seventh day. And then he became Tamei again on the seventh day of that next one, before he got to the eighth day, and so on and so forth. So as many times as this happened, that's how many times you're telling me the Chiddush, that he does not need a carbon, because he never made it. The Kivan, and here are the words that Gavi wrote down, Kivan de lo yatsa sha'a haru'uya lahavi korban, since he was never in a time where it would have been possible to bring a carbon, eino chayav ela korban echad. So he's still covered by the same chiv of bringing the same set of carbonas once. There never was a time when the Torah said, oh, well, you should have taken care of this with this carbon. Now you're going to have to bring two. No, he doesn't bring two. The Torah was only mechayev him one. Because, look, consider, says Rav Chisda, what are you going to try to make this work out according to Rebbe? How the heck could it work out according to Rebbe? I mean, itim a Rebbe, what would be the case? If he had become tamei on the seventh day and again became seven on the seventh day, I mean, that's not a new tumah. That's all the same old tumah because he hasn't started a new Naziris. So, I mean, I certainly don't need a Mishnah to tell me that if you keep becoming tummy as a Nazir, you only bring one carbon, obviously. That's not what we're talking about. And if it's talking about that he had already gotten to the eighth day and he became tummy on the eighth day, Well, then he was already ready to bring the korban on the eighth day, in which case the old set of korbanos would not cover the new tumah, because he's going to have to bring a new set of korbanos since he already had exited the period that the korban was going to be for. That korban was only going to cover him up to the eighth day. Well, it's already eighth day and became tumah again. So therefore, it can't be going according to Rebbe, because it would be yatzta shar shiru yelavi korban. So even though we saw in the Braita, the only way the Braita would work would be dafka according to Rebbe, because the Braita says you can only restart on the eighth day, and according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudai restarts on the seventh day, the Mishnah in Krisis is basically the opposite. The Mishnah in Krisis can only work out according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudai. Now, looking again at the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudai. Now, we understood Rebbe very well, right? So let's take a look at the logic of Rebbe and see what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudai does with his logic. My time at a Rebbe. So we saw already in that Braita, right? It said in the pasuk, "V'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh," and only then "V'kidash et rosho." So that shows me that you can only restart "V'kidash et rosho." You can only restart having that nazir head if you already brought your korbanos, because it says "V'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh," and that means it's got to be today. It's got to be the eighth day at least, right? We'll see whether it needs the korbanos or not, but it definitely can only be on the day that these words would have been possible. Says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah, now wait a minute. Then why in the world would the pasuk bother mentioning Bayom Hahu? Can you tell me? I mean, how would I think that the eighth day happened on the seventh day? I mean, come on. Obviously, it's Bayom Hahu. So if that's what the pasuk meant, leave out the words Bayom Hahu and just say V'kidash et rosho. You said V'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh. Today, on the eighth day, the Kohen brings the korbanos, and then V'kidash et rosho. Why are you throwing in Bayom Hahu? Lomali. That's my question. Even without saying Bayom Hahu, I know it's Bayom Hahu. Ah, must be. Im eino inyan l'shmini, Tineu inyan l'shvi'is. Therefore, it must be coming to tell me a different day, not the day that you think, but the day that all of this began. When did all of it begin? With the giluach that took place on the previous day. That's how I understand it. And Rebbe, what would Rebbe say to that? Oh, come on, man, says Rebbe. I mean, on that day means not on that day. That is his intelligent way of understanding the pasuk, says Rebbe. On that day is coming to tell me that it's enough if it's on the day, even though the korban wasn't brought. That's what it's for. So it's coming to tell me, Ahu, l'hachiyu de'ata. That's coming to tell me the following. Lomar lecha, it teaches, af api shelo hevi korbanotav, the eighth day is what counts. Because obviously, if it wouldn't have said on the day, I would have said, it says beferish in the pasuk, v'chiper alav ha-kohen, that the kohen actually had to bring the korbanos for him. Comes along the pasuk, says Rebbe, of Bayom Hahu, to teach me it's a function of the day and not of the actual korbanos. Now, that's very logical. Now, the question is whether this logic itself undoes Rav Chista's entire point. Remember, Rav Chista was the one who claimed that the Mishnah in Kritut can only work out according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, right? But now let me ask you something. If according to Rebbe, we don't need korbanos, we don't need korbanos, do we? So then, when does the eighth day begin? Well, I mean, usually, vayi erev, vayi voker, yom hashmini. Says that somewhere? Well, I don't know. But it could. So now, if the eighth day began the evening before, so then why can't that Mishnah in Krisis work out according to Rebbe? See, I thought that when Rebbe said that it needs to be on the eighth day, I thought that was because he held that you needed to bring a korban. Now you've just explained to me that no, the whole point of Rebbe is you don't need to bring the korban, and it's a function entirely of time. Well, that means that the eighth day began the night before. Now, the night before, can you bring a korban? No, because you're not going to be nichnas l'sha'ah haru'uya la'vi korban until the morning. But you can't bring a korban at night, because it says b'feresh in the pasuk b'yom tzavoto et b'nei Yisrael, right? So now we have a solution for the Mishnah and Krisus, even according to Rebbe. You're right. It can't be the seventh day. It was the eighth day. But it was the eighth day that started 2 minutes after the seventh day. It boils down to the same thing. He started his new Naziris on the eve of the eighth day, became Tameh on the eve of the eighth day, had not yet had an opportunity to bring Karbonis, and therefore, the Mishnah is saying, as long as it wasn't yet the daytime of the Karbonis, couldn't have been brought. So if this happens multiple times and this same idiot keeps dying on him, so then he's going to bring one set of Karbonis for all of these events. So it could be perfectly good according to Rebbe also. Says the Gemara, so then why did Rav Chisda insist that it can only work out according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? Rav Chisda? So my duki look make Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, he could simply say it works out according to Rebbe, and the case would be Lukma, kagon de nitma de chazi b'leil shmini. He became Tameh after he was already ro'i to begin his new Nazirut on the eve of the eighth day, and it would still work out according to Rebbe, because he was not in any way able to bring a carbon, because in the night you can't bring a carbon. Ha! Now, I mean, it's possible that Rav Chisda brought in his own personal prejudice into this issue. Aha! And how would that be? Well, I'll tell you. This changes everything. Can't trust anybody. So since Rav Chisda refused to allow that the Mishnah could work out like Rebbe, we might conclude that Rav Chisda holds, this is another Gavi term, and it's a very common, very powerful term. It's called Laila Lav Mechusar Zmanhu. If a korban is Mechusar Zman, by Yom Hashmini V'ala, right? So Shivat Yamim Tiyet Tachat Imo. If somebody shechs a korban, that's Mechusar Zman. So the korban is only 7 days old. It hasn't yet gotten to its eighth day. It's not a kosher korban. But suppose it's the night before. Now, the question is the night before still considered to already be, so to speak, Yom HaShmini? There's many reasons why something could be Mechusar Zman. It doesn't literally have to be less than 8 days old. For instance, let's say that you shechted the child of this korban the day in the morning, then it's Mechusar Zman, because you're not allowed to shech this korban until tomorrow, because of Otoved Beno, right? There could be a lot of reasons. It could be Mechusar Zman, because the person who was chayef to bring this korban wasn't going to become tar until the next day. So then the korban is considered to be Mechusar Zman, and so on and so forth. But Mechusar Zman is an abstract concept. Doesn't literally mean Yom HaShmini, Yom HaShmini, but that's what we base the idea on. So now the question is whether the night before, the morning after, is that considered to be fundamentally not the time for the korban, or is it viewed as a logistical problem? In the sense that, look, if I could bring a korban at night, then this would be a perfectly good time to bring that korban, because it's already the eighth day, right? The only reason I can't bring it is because it's not daytime. But that daytime is not the meaning of day. So basically, if it's still the day, then it's not Mechusar Zman. So you're saying, okay, but you still can't bring the korban. That's a technicality. And what if I was in California? I couldn't bring the korban either, but that's a technicality. The point is that I've already begun the time in which it's roy to bring the korban. Okay, so if you hold that way, then it would mean that Rav Chisda would say, listen, I don't give a hang if it started the day before, because it's still the equivalent of it being the eighth day in the daytime, because the technicality is not going to change anything. And therefore, he would already have to bring a separate carbon, but the Mishnah and Krisus says he doesn't have to bring a separate carbon. He can bring one carbon for all of them. That's why I am telling you, it cannot work out according to Rebbe. Disclosure. This entire explanation was only based on the support of Glaxo Drugs, who holds Lila is not Mechusar Zman. But if you hold that Lila would be Mechusar Zman, I really could have told you that the Mishnah is going to Rebbe. But this is all in the small print and nobody notices. So therefore, they really believe that the Mishnah can only be going according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. This is an old problem, apparently. Anyway, so with that disclosure, The Gemara wants to know, so have we found him out, Rav Chisda? What do you say? Shall we say that Lema Kasava Laila Lamuchus Ismanu? And that was all based on his take on that? Omer Vada Barava, no. No. There's a very simple solution to all of this, but it requires an expansion of your envelope a little bit. Basically, the idea over here is that the two issues are completely interdependent. That's the point. It's Haba HaTalia, because if you hold, let's say that you hold that you cannot bring a carbon at night is more than a technicality. It's an actual pagam that you haven't yet entered the time. So when is the time of bringing a carbon? In the morning. So then the meaning of Bayom Hahu would also mean in the morning, silly. These are interdependent concepts. The Bayom Hahu is the yom that you could be maybe this carbon. So if you hold you could only be maybe this carbon from the morning, then Bayom Hahu also means that the new Naziris will not begin until the morning, in which case the Mishnah can't be like Rebbe. And if you hold that Bayom Hahu, Laila is not Mechuser Zman, in which case Bayom Hahu would mean start the night before, then it still can't be like Rebbe, because then it was already the time that it was Roi Lavi Korban Aysav. And therefore, it wouldn't matter what Rav Chisda's personal opinion would be about whether Laila is Mechuser Zman or not. Whatever the heck you hold, the meaning of Bayom Hahu will be defined by the Yom, which is the Yom of bringing a Korban. Now, either that's the night before, it's the next day, but one way or the other, it's all going to work out in the same way that either you're going to have to bring one carbon for all of them because this didn't happen in a new Naziris, or you're going to have to bring one carbon for all of them, for separate of them, because you've already entered into the time when you could have brought the new carbon. You can't bring one carbon for all of them. So forget about it. It can't be Rebbe. And therefore, Iyamrit Laila Eino Mechuser Zman. So then the Naziris Taira would start the night before. But then you need a new carbon. So then it wouldn't go according to Rebbe either. So no matter how you learn, Rav Chisda was absolutely correct, and we do not know what drug company is supporting him in this shita. Okay. So now, you should know, says the Gemara, things are seldom what they seem. And actually, you thought you had it all wrapped up by understanding the shitas of Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. However, it's much more complicated than that. There's actually other shitas that we haven't taken into consideration, which I was miramis to earlier, because certainly one way of understanding the pasuk is that you actually have to bring your korbanos before you could be able to start the Rosh Nidro, the Kiddush is Rosh Nidro, and that it's not a function of the day, and it's not a function of the time with ro'u lahavi korbanos of. It is an actual dependent upon the korbanos. Once that's true, you have to ask yourself, which korbanos? The chatas? The ayla? The asham? Which korbanos? V'chiper alav? With any? With a specific one? So this gives us an opening to some other shitas that we haven't considered. And therefore, going back to the sugya, let's look at it a little bit more closely. Gufa. Gufa here doesn't mean gufa, an actual text. Gufa means getting back into the same idea. So gufa, we were talking about the idea of nitma b'shvi, v'chazev nitma b'shvi. That's the way we spoke about that whole question, and that he's only going to be maybe a korban echad. That's how we worked it out, right? That if he was nitma b'shmini, v'chazev nitma b'shmini, then he would need to be maybe korban, I'll call echad v'yachad. But, now here's the brayta. When would he restart his new Naziris? On the seventh day or on the eighth day? So he's bringing a separate carbon. When does he restart? Well, says Rabbi Eliezer, he restarts on the seventh day. As soon as he finishes his Hazayah Shlishi Vishvi and he goes to the mikveh, at that point, he starts again. We never thought about this amazing point. Remember what Rebbe Eliezer said in the Mishnah? Rebbe Eliezer said in the Mishnah that unless you have a minimum of 2 days, and you can use the words Hayamim HaRishonim Yiplu, that then the whole parsha would not apply, right? So then it would mean that according to Reb Eliezer, he's got to hold that you started the day before. Because if you don't start the day before, then you're not chayav a carbon at all. So then why would Reb Eliezer say that you have to bring another carbon? Reb Eliezer, she thinks you don't bring a carbon unless it was more than one day. But if you started on the eighth day and became tamei on the eighth day, then you're not going to be chayav a carbon because of the other problem. Hayamim harishonim, and there are no yamim harishonim. Oh, my God. So he's really backed himself into a corner over here, which means that the only way it would work out, according to Reb Eliezer, is if the restart was on day seven. So then you could talk about on day eight, the yamim harishonim, because he had already had day seven and day eight. Okay. So then that's fascinating. So then it would turn out that Reb Eliezer here is basically saying the same thing that Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda said, that you start the Naziris again on the Yom HaShvi'i without even discussing the question of the Yom Ahuz and all of that. He's going to Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda. V'chachamim omrim, korban echad ala kol, ad shi'avi chatato. Oh my God, a completely new approach. A completely new approach, by the way, just to point out that according to the Gra, there is no Reb Eliezer. According to the Gra, he simply takes out the word Eliezer, in which case it's going Aliva to Rebbe. And it's saying, Maschel Bishvi, yes, that's because that was basically Rebbe. We would be talking about over here as Rebbe, which is what we said earlier in Rebbe, that it's the daytime, not the seventh day, but the daytime of the eighth day, and immediately, in the sense of miyad, even though he didn't bring the korbanos, which means that we don't have this extra sheet over here of Reb Eliezer, according to the Gra, at all. Okay, fine. Yeah, that works out well, too, because according to Rebbe, you're matchil miyad on the eighth day, not matchil miyad on the seventh day, and therefore we do not have another sheet that's backing the idea of Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda. Okay, fine. The Chachamim say, you're all wrong. And that if you actually brought your carbon chatas, and then you became tamei, you'd have to bring a new chatas. And then if you brought a new chatas, you became tamei, you'd have new chatas again, and therefore you would be mevi carbon al kol echa v'yecha, but it's not defined by time. It's when you actually brought the carbon that restarts you of the Kiddush Rosh Nizro, that is the Karban Chatas, even though it mentions over here Chatas and an Oila. I don't know. How do they know it's only the Chatas? The Gemara will take this up later. But if you didn't actually bring the Karban Chatas, then at the end of the series of Tuma, you would be one Karban. Suppose you brought your Chatas and you never got to bringing your Asham. Hevi Chatato v'lo hevi Ashamo. That would not matter, say the Chachamim, because look, it doesn't say anything in this pasuk, doesn't? It doesn't say in the pasuk to bring the asham, it just says v'chiper alav, and we learn about the asham elsewhere. So then that would mean that we have three shitas. We have Rebbe Shita that goes according to the day of the eighth day. We have Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda who says it's the day, but that day is the seventh day. And we have the Chachamim who say that no, it's the actual carbon, but which carbon? The carbon chatas. Now we have a fourth shita. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer. Well, what's the difference between the chatas and the asham? Kishem shechatato ikavto, kin ashamo ma'akvo. In the same way that the Torah says the Kohen has to be mechaper alav, and that kapor alav includes his carbon chatas, why would it not include his carbon asham? So according to Rabbi Yishmael, you can't begin the new Naziris until you bring both your chatas and your asham. We still can't understand why we're talking about. And what about the ola? How come everybody's so sure we can just ignore the ola? Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. But the bottom line is over here that this is yet a four shita, and that unless you actually had brought both, then you wouldn't be counting. And if you wouldn't be counting, then it would be considered to be the tuma that was within the same original tuma. So, four shitas, therefore. Now, I'd like to know how you're going to fit in these four shitas into the pasuk. Okay? Now, Reb Eliezer. Okay, I understood that with Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda and so on. It says, V'kidash et rosho bayom ahu. And that Bayom Ahu would mean, even though he didn't bring his korbanot, and the way we're understanding it, this is very misleading, because those words, Af Al Pi Shelo Hevi Korbanotav, those were the words that Rebbe had used, and therefore the Gros says this is Rebbe. But this is Rebbe Eliezer. And when Rebbe used these words, it means the eighth day. And what we just quoted in was the seventh day. But that's fine. That still works out according to Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. And therefore it means that there were no korbanos at all. And that could mean there were no korbanos at all because it's the seventh day and there was giluach. I mean, there were no korbanos at all because it's the eighth day. You didn't yet bring your korbanos. But fine. Those are the two different shitas. But I understand Rebbe Eliezer. Now, the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, it says in the Pasuk V'chiper Alav, it says that the Kohen is supposed to bring Echad L'chatas V'Echad L'Yoyla, and he's supposed to bring a Korban Osham. That's why it says by Yom Ahu, don't think you need all of those things. On that day that you bring just one of those Korbanas, namely the Korban Chatas, that's enough. That's the Bayom Ahu. But it's certainly not saying you can cross out the need for korbanos altogether, like Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda were claiming. So then the Yom Ahu is coming to tell me, Af Al Pi Shelo Hevi Ashamo, you still begin your new Naziris, and therefore that will be the defining moment of requiring a new korban. Now we still have no idea why we're ignoring the word about the Echad Le'Oilah. We don't know that yet. And so, okay, I understand where it is that the Chachomim come from. But where does Rabbi Shmuel come from? Because if Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher ben Yochanan ben Peroka, where does he come from? Because if he holds that you have to bring everything, including your Asham, so then the Bayom Ahu isn't telling you a darn thing. Why did the Torah even mention the Bayom Ahu? That was a very telling argument that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe discussed, and they both agreed that, of course, the Biyomo is very meaningful. So either the Biyomo tells me it means the day and only the day, whether that's the seventh day or the eighth day, that's what they're arguing in. Or even according to Chachomim, it's telling me the day, meaning without the Korban Asham, but with the Korban Chatas. But if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan and Broka, it's not telling you anything. Just leave out the word Biyomo totally. Omar Lecha, says Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, everybody is so smart around here. Does anybody know why it is that you don't need to bring a Korban Oila? Ha, 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 ha. And they say it's enough to bring the Korban Chatas? I'm telling you, you have one pasuk by Yom Ahu, and that comes to tell me you don't need all of the above. What's all of the above? Ah, one thing. What's the least likely thing that is not included? The oila. Because the oila is not coming as a kapara, and therefore even without it, I should say, v'chiper alav hakohen. So therefore, without the kapara, I can still not go ahead. And the kapara, an osham comes for kapara, chatas comes from kapara. But Bayom Ahu tells me, but don't worry about the other korbanas mentioned in the aforementioned act of the Kohen, which includes the Oila, even by Yom Ahu without an Oila. I am the most consistent. Therefore, says Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka, but also Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. An excellent point, says the Gemara. And the Rabbanan. How indeed are the Rabbanan so sure that it's enough to bring the Korban Chatas and that we do not need, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka claims, we do not need the Asham? And how do they know that we don't need the Oila? Isn't he right that we need the Pasuk to exclude the Oila? So we should include the Asham at least. No, say the Rabbanan, I don't need a special miut of Bayom Ahu to cancel an Oila. Every fool knows that an Oila is not going to be ma'akev this count because it says v'chiper alav hakohen, and an Oila doesn't need a miut because an Oila is always viewed as a gift, not as a kapora. The ola is a doron ba'alma, as we've seen in the Gemara in Zvachim. When you bring an ola, you're bringing an ola not really directly for kapora, but as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to smooth the relationship. Okay, but according to the Rabbanan, what's the meaning of the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Bayom Ahu." So why do I need Bayomahu? Because there is no mention of the Asham Bayomahu. I don't understand. You see, if you're telling me that you need it for the Eila, that makes sense. But the Pasuk, just read the Pasuk. Remember, Pasuk said, V'yasa ha-kohen echad l'chatat, v'echad l'olah, v'chiper alav me'asher chatah al ha-nefesh, v'kidash et rosho bayom ahu. Did you hear anything about a keves for an Eli? For an Asham? I didn't hear anything. So if I read that Pasuk, I ought to be satisfied without the words bayom ahu that the Torah said. You can start now. The next pasuk starts talking about Vezir LaHashem et Yemei Nizro, Vevi Keves Ben Shnato LaHashem. Okay, great, but we didn't get up to there. So what's your problem? So why do I need a pasuk to come to be Mamayat the Asham? It doesn't make any sense. If you read the pasuk, I see that the Asham wasn't included. Why bother saying it? Says the Gemara. Well, take a look at this bright and you'll see how the whole thing works out. The next pasuk. Finally get now to the fourth pasuk in this story. So now, let me ask you something. How do you explain this weird organization? Why are we talking about beginning your naziris before it even tells you to bring your asham? Well, let's go for the point. We know that where all the Torah tells me that I have to bring a Korban Asham, that Korban Asham is absolutely central. If there's an Asham Mitzorah, that's the main action in the whole story, is the Asham Mitzorah with the oil and the putting it on his head. And oh my gosh, that's like the main business, right? So, I would have taken, if the Pasuk would have said to bring an Asham, I would have taken that very seriously. Because every other time we talk about an asham, it's like central to the whole idea. Therefore, yochol avze ma'akvo, you would have thought that the asham of a nazir is absolutely crucial. And without bringing an asham, you cannot restart v'kidashet rosh nizro. That's why the pasuk went out of its way to say, Talmud lomar v'hizir, and only then v'hevi, so that you start your new naziris, and then you can bring your asham, which means that afal pisha, handy, mute, sweetie. So in that case, it's telling me that even if he wasn't maybe his asham, he is still a nazir. There you go. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, this pasuk of hizir vehevi does not tell me that. I need the Bayom Ahu to tell me that, because I could read that pasuk to mean v'hizir v'hevi. In what circumstances can he be mezir? Only where he was already made vi. Because sometimes we find that the Torah says, in the event that you had already brought your korban asham, so then v'hevi. That would be the way in which we would understand it, aliba the Reb Yishma. Okay, we still have issues that are outstanding over here, and it's late.
Maybe if we start in Montana, we enter a different state.
I'm sorry, I'm too slow, Panaya.
Montana. If we start Montana, we enter a different state.
Thank God I'm slow. This has got to be a profound insanity if you can actually see that. All right, Barney, I give in. Anyway, so when shall we meet to tie a ribbon around this beautiful sugya? So just again, to leave you for Shabbos, remember that we've got four different shitas over here that are based on a very, very careful examination of the pasuk. And the question is whether you restart with the Tiglachas on the seventh day, or whether you start with the Chalos of the eighth day, which might be the night before, might be the morning after, depending on whether it's Laila Mechusar Zman. And then we have the Machlokas also between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Do you actually have to bring, according to Chachomim, you have to bring your Korban Chatas? According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you need to have also brought your Korban Asham. We have not successfully concluded why they're arguing about whether you need a pasuk to tell me not the Eila, which is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said. Rishmo ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said, and the Chachomim would say you don't even need a pasuk. We didn't get to any clear-cut understanding of what they are arguing in, but at least we now have a very, very powerful understanding of the different stages of the Nazir, the different parts of the din of that Nazir, and depending on where it was that that Nazir began, it's really, really amazing. We have Naziris that is in suspension and Naziris that's not in suspension. Naziris that's in suspension because of another Naziris. Naziris that's in suspension because of the fact that you can't count while it is that you are in a state of a tuma that comes from Tzaraas, the type of tumot that can actually be Soser and Naziris and therefore are demanding of a carbon of tuma, the type of tuma that is only going to be Mechayev Yumalkas, but will not demand a restart of the Naziris, the difference of whether the Naziris is a full Naziris as a Naziris Tahira or a compromised Naziris because it's a Naziris Tuma, and then the two different types of Naziris Tuma, one of which happens to a Nazir who was already Tar, and the other which starts off in the beginning as a Nazir who was Tameh because he was Nazir B'Beit HaKvarot, and then we have these gradual stages. So we have the Yom Milot, which is a special din, in which we have a special Teiras Nazir B'Yom Milot, according to Rebbe Eliezer. And then we have the question of how many days of the Naziris were there. Are there Yomim Rishonim, or is there only a Yom that would be Neifel, in which case there would be no Chiyav? And then we have the Halacha of post the Milot, and the Rabbanan, the Takana de Rabbanan, in which even post Milot, we may be Mechayev you to make up for it, but we won't be Mechayev you more than 30 days, because you only had to keep after all the extra day Mirabbanan. That was dependent on Machlokas of Bar Pada and Rav Masna, as to whether the Naziris is 29 days, whether the Naziris is 30 days. The difference between the acceptance specifically of a Naziris of 30 days, as opposed to simply saying Stam Naziris, and that would run into the question of whether Mixas Hayom Kakulo or not. And then the question of whether Mixas Hayom Kakulo could count as two separate days, which was Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, about whether you can actually gain a day in between the two Naziris. And then the various shitas of the Rishonim about whether you can ever have a Naziris that runs concurrently as opposed to consecutively. And the other Machlokas Rishonim about whether you can use one haircut for multiple Naziris in a case where you interrupted a Naziris. And this final description over here of what the various stages are of the emergence from the state of your Naziris Tuma, in which it goes through not only a haircut on the seventh day, Karbonis on the eighth day and the beginning of the eighth day, but also three different Karbonis, the Osham and the Chatas and the Eila, which one of those are Ma'akev and why. This has been a very exciting week, I think you will agree.